hunched up around her hips and take a brief moment to appreciate how beautiful her legs are in stockings with lacy tops. I lift her. Sit astride me. Keeping her darkening eyes on mine, she obeys, but tilts her chin up, wearing her bring it expression. Oh, Anna. Mrs. Gray, are you goading me? We could have some fun with this. My pants feel two sizes too small.
Yes, what are you going to do about it?
God, I love a challenge. Clasp your hands together behind your back. She does, and I bind her wrists with her panties and pull them tight. Now she's helpless.
My panties? Mr. Gray, you have no shame.
She chides me, breathless. Not where you're concerned, Mrs. Gray, but you know that. I love the provocation in her smoky blue eyes. It's such a turn-on. I push her backward on my lap so I have more room to work. She chews her lip, her eyes on mine, and gently I skim my hands down to her knees, pushing her legs wider apart. Then I widen my legs to give my dick some more room and to make her more available to me. Also, it will be more intense for her this way. My fingers move to the buttons on her wet blouse. I don't think we need this. Slowly I undo each button, revealing her breasts, still slick from their earlier soaking. They rise and fall rapidly as she inhales sharply, and I leave her blouse gaping open. Desire shines in her eyes and they stay glued to mine. I caress her face and brush my thumb across her bottom lip, then abruptly push it into her mouth. Suck. She closes her mouth around me and does exactly what she's been told to do. Hard. My girl does not back down. This I know. She scrapes her teeth gently over my skin and bites the pad. I moan, then ease my thumb from her mouth and paint her chin, her throat, and her sternum with her saliva. I hook my thumb into her bra cup and tug it down, freeing her breast. Then tuck the cup beneath, pushing her breast up so it's poised and ready for me. We stare at each other. Her mouth opens and closes, her eyes filled with yearning. I love watching her reaction to everything I do. She bites down on her lip as I free her other breast, so it too is helpless and waiting for me. They are too tempting. I hold both of them and slowly graze my thumbs over her nipples in a tight circle, torturing each one so that they stand proud beneath my touch. Anna starts panting and arching her back, thrusting her breasts into my palms. I don't stop, but continue to tease her so that she throws her head back and lets out a long, low moan of pleasure. "Shh," I whisper, not letting up on the slow, sweet rhythm I've set for my thumbs. Anna's hips shift. "Still, baby, still." Reaching behind her head, I gather her hair in one hand and hold her neck. I want her still. Leaning down, I tease her right nipple with my lips, then suck hard as my fingers move to continue taunting its twin, gently tugging and twisting.
"Ah, Christian!"
She groans and rocks her hips forward on my lap. "Oh no, baby." I don't let up, my lips tasting and teasing, my fingers tweaking and tugging.
"Christian, please."
She mules. "I want you to come like this." I whisper against my captive peak, and I return to it, but this time I tug tenderly and carefully with my teeth.
"Ah!"
Anna calls and writhes on my lap, but I hold her still and I don't stop.
"Please."
She's breathless and begging, and I watch her, her mouth slack, her head back, as she has no choice but to absorb all the pleasure. I know she's close. "You have such beautiful breasts, Anna. One day I'll fuck them." She arches her back fully, surrendering to me, her breathing rapid, her thighs straining against mine. She's close, so close. "Let go," I whisper, and she does, her eyes scrunched closed as she cries out and her body quivers through her orgasm. I tighten my hold on her as she sails down from her high. Her eyes flicker open, dazed and beautiful. God, I love to watch you come, Anna.
That was...
She stops, overwhelmed, I think. I know. I kiss her, angling her head so I can claim her and tell her with my tongue that she is everything to me. She blinks up at me when I pull away. Now I'm going to fuck you, hard. I grab her around the waist and move her farther back on my lap once more. With one hand on her thigh, I reach for my pants zipper and free my impatient cock. Anna's eyes darken, her pupils dilating.
You like?
I whisper.
Hmm.
She makes a delicious rumbling noise of approval in her throat. I wrap my fingers around my erection and move them up and down as she watches.
You're biting your lip, Mrs. Gray. That's because I'm hungry. Hungry?
Anastasia Gray, my days just improved 1,000-fold. She makes that noise again, the sexy one deep in her throat, and licks her lips while I continue to pleasure myself. I see. You should have eaten your dinner. I'm almost tempted to spank her, but I'm not sure that would be welcome. But maybe I can oblige. I put my hands around her waist so that she keeps her balance. Stand, I order. She does, indecently quickly. She's keen. Kneel, I murmur, watching her. Her eyes flick to mine, shining with sensuous delight, and she does, surprisingly gracefully, considering her hands are tied. I slide forward on the chair, holding my erection. Kiss me, I order, offering her my cock. She glances from my dick to my face, and I run my tongue over my teeth. Come on, baby. She leans forward and plants a soft kiss on the tip, her eyes on mine. It's so fucking hot. I could come over her right now. I lay my hand against her cheek, and she runs her tongue around the head of my erection. I gasp, and suddenly she pounces, pulling my dick into her mouth and sucking really hard. Ah! Anna's mouth is heaven. I flex my hips forward, diving deeper into her throat, and she takes me, all of me. Fuck. She moves her head up and down, consuming me. Ah, she's so good at this. But I don't want to come in her mouth. I hold her head with both hands to slow her down and control her pace. Easy, baby. Panting hard, I guide her mouth down, up, on me. Her tongue works its magic. Jesus, Anna. I whisper and screw my eyes up and lose myself in her rhythm. She draws her lips back so I feel her teeth. Fuck. I stop and grab her, moving her onto my lap. Enough, I growl. I tug her panties off her wrists, and she looks so fucking pleased with herself, as she should. She's a goddess, her expression sultry beneath her long lashes. She licks her lips and wraps her fingers around my dick and scoots forward and lowers herself oh so fucking slowly onto me. Oh, the feel of her. Groaning, in tribute to her, I tug her blouse off so it falls to the floor. I steady her hips with my hands to stall her. Still, I order. Please let me savor this, savor you. She stops moving, and her dark, dark eyes glow with her love and innate sensuality. Her lips are parted and moist where she's been biting her bottom lip. She is my life. I flex my butt, driving deeper into her, and she moans and closes her eyes. This is my favorite place, I murmur. Inside you. Inside my wife. Anna's fingers fist in my wet hair, her lips find mine, and her tongue finds mine as she starts to move, rising up and down, riding me. Riding me, fast, her pace frantic. I moan, weaving my hands in her hair, and my tongue welcomes hers as they dance a dance they know so well. She's greedy, like me. Too fast, baby. My hands move to her ass and I guide her once more to a quick but even tempo. she cries out.
Yes, yes, Anna.
I hiss through my teeth as I try to prolong this exquisite pleasure.
Baby,
I murmur as my passion builds and I take her mouth once more.
Anna, Anna, will it always be like this? This hot, this elemental, this extreme. Oh, Christian, I love you. I will always love you.
Her words are my undoing. I can't hold on. After all the tension between us today, I clasp her to me and let go, crying out as I come hard and fast, triggering her release. She cries out and surrenders herself to me, shuddering around me until we're both still. Together, we resurface. She's crying.
Hey.
I tip her chin back.
Why are you crying? Did I hurt you?
No.
She says in a breathless rush of denial. I push her hair off her face and wipe the tear that slipped down her cheek with my thumb and kiss her. I shift, pulling out of her, and she winces as I do.
What's wrong, Anna? Tell me.
Watery eyes stare into mine.
It's just sometimes I'm overwhelmed by how much I love you,
she whispers. My heart melts and mends into one glorious whole.
You have the same effect on me.
I touch my lips to hers in the softest of kisses.
Do I?
Anna,
you know you do.
Sometimes I know, not all the time.
Back at you, Mrs. Gray. What a pair we make, Anastasia. Her smile lights a path for my dark soul, and she leaves a trail of soft, sweet kisses over my chest and cuddles up to me, her cheek against my heart. I stroke her hair and run my fingers down her back. She's still wearing her bra. It can't be very comfortable. I undo it, tug down each of the straps so it falls to the floor, joining her blouse.
Skin on skin.
I fold her into my arms and graze my lips over her shoulder and up to her ear.
You smell like heaven, Mrs. Gray.
So do you, Mr. Gray.
She kisses my chest again and relaxes into me, letting out what I think is a sigh of contentment. I don't know how long we sit, wrapped around each other, but it's a balm to my soul. We are one. The tension between us gone. I kiss her hair, inhale my wife's scent, and all is right in my world once more. It's late. I'm stroking her back and I don't want to move.
Your hair still needs cutting.
I laugh. That it does, Mrs. Gray. Do you have the energy to finish the job you started?
For you, Mr. Gray, anything.
She drops another kiss on my chest and stands up. Don't go. I capture her hips and turn her around. Quickly, I unzip her skirt so it falls to the floor, and I offer Anna my hand so she steps free of it. I take a moment to appreciate my wife wearing nothing but her stockings and garter belt.
You are a mighty fine sight, Mrs. Gray.
Sitting back in the chair, I cross my arms and gawk. She opens her arms and twirls for me.
God, I'm a lucky son of a bitch.
I whisper in awe.
Yes, you are.
Put my shirt on and you can cut my hair. Like this, you'll distract me and we'll never get to bed. Her wicked smile is sexy. What is she planning? I zip up my pants as she waltzes over to where my shirt lies on the floor, her hips swaying in a sensual rhythm. She bends from her waist in a pose worthy of Penthouse magazine, leaving nothing to my imagination, collects my shirt, smells it, then with a coy glance at me, shrugs it on.
Down, boy.
That's quite a floor show, Mrs. Gray.
Do we have any scissors?
She asks, wearing my shirt and a cheeky smile.
My study.
My voice is hoarse.
I'll go search.
She prances out of the bathroom, leaving me with a semi-hard-on.
Mrs. Gray.
While Anna is finding scissors, I collect her clothes, fold them, and place them on the vanity. I glance at myself in the mirror, hardly recognizing the man staring back at me. Giving up a little control in matters sexual with Anna is extremely satisfying. I like frantic Anna and greedy Anna. I love that she loves my dick. Yes, especially that. And she's agreed to be Mrs. Gray in name, too. I'd call that a good result. We just have to get better at communicating with each other. Communicate and compromise. Anna dashes into the bathroom, catching her breath. What's wrong? I ask.
I just ran into Taylor.
Oh, I frown. Dressed like that? Anna's eyes widen in alarm at my expression.
That's not Taylor's fault,
she says quickly. No, but still. I don't want anyone eyeing my nearly naked wife.
I'm dressed.
Barely.
I don't know who was more embarrassed, me or him.
I bet. Poor Taylor. Or lucky Taylor. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I remember the bikini top incident and push that quickly from my mind.
Did you know he and Gail are, well, together?
She says, sounding a little shocked. I laugh. Yes, of course I knew.
And you never told me?
I thought you knew too.
No.
Anna, they're adults. They live under the same roof, both unattached, both attractive. She blushes. Why, I don't know. I'm glad they have each other.
Well, if you put it like that,
she mutters.
I just thought Gail was older than Taylor.
She is, but not by much. Some men like older women. Shit.
I know that,
Anna snaps, scowling. Shit, why did I say that? Will Elena always loom over in between us?
That reminds me.
I change the subject.
What?
Anna sounds sulky. She takes the chair and turns it so it faces the sink.
Sit,
she orders. My bossy wife. I do as I'm told, trying to hide my amusement. See, I can behave. I was thinking we could convert the rooms over the garages for them at the new place. I say, make it a home, then maybe Taylor's daughter could stay with him more often. I watch Anna's reaction in the mirror as she combs my hair. She frowns.
Why doesn't she stay here?
Taylor's never asked me.
Perhaps you should offer. But we'd have to behave ourselves.
I hadn't thought of that. Kids, they ruin all the fun.
Perhaps that's why Taylor hasn't asked. Have you met her?
Yes, she's a sweet thing. Shy, very pretty. I pay for her schooling. Anna stops combing my hair, and our eyes meet in the mirror.
I had no idea.
I shrug it off. Seemed the least I could do. Also, it means he won't quit.
I'm sure he likes working for you.
I don't know.
I think he's very fond of you, Christian.
She runs the comb through my hair again. It feels nice. You think? I ask. It's never crossed my mind.
Yes, I do.
Well, how about that? I have enormous respect for Taylor. I'd like him to stay working for me, for us, indefinitely. I trust him.
Good.
Will you talk to Gia about the rooms over the garage?
Yes, of course.
Her lips curl in a secret smile, and I wonder what she's thinking about. She glances at me in the mirror.
You sure about this? Your last chance to bail.
Do your worst, Mrs. Gray. I don't have to look at me, you do. Her smile illuminates the room.
Christian, I could look at you all day.
I shake my head. It's just a pretty face, baby.
And behind it is a very pretty man.
She kisses my temple.
My man.
Her man. I like that. I sit still and let her work. Her tongue escapes between her teeth while she concentrates. It's cute and arousing. So I close my eyes and think back to our honeymoon, enjoying the many memories we made. Occasionally, I crack open an eyelid to take a quick peek at her.
Finished,
she announces. I open my eyes and check her handiwork. It's a haircut, and it looks fine. Great job, Mrs. Gray. I pull her to me and nuzzle her belly.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
She gives me a quick kiss. It's late, bed. I smack her behind because she's waving it in front of me and it's too tempting.
Ugh, I should clean up in here,
she exclaims. There are small clumps of my hair all over the floor. Okay, I'll get the broom. I mutter and stand up. I don't want you embarrassing the staff with your lack of appropriate attire. Do you know where the broom is? I stare at Anna. No. She laughs. I'll go. And with a quick grin, she sashays out of the bathroom. How do I not know where the broom is? I turn to the sink and check my hair again. Anna's done a good job. It looks fine. Smiling, impressed by her handiwork, I reach for my toothbrush. Anna is laughing to herself when I join her in bed. What? I ask.
Nothing, just an idea.
What idea? I turn on my side and watch her. Christian, I don't think I want to run a company. I shift onto my elbow. Why do you say that?
Because it's not something that has ever appealed to me.
You're more than capable, Anastasia.
I like to read books, Christian. Running a company will take me away from that.
You could be the creative head. She looks pensive, and I don't know if she hates the idea or is considering it. I persist. You see, running a successful company is all about embracing the talent of the individuals you have at your disposal. If that's where your talents and your interests lie, then you structure the company to enable that. Don't dismiss it out of hand, Anastasia. You're a very capable woman. I think you could do anything you wanted if you put your mind to it. She's not convinced.
I'm also worried it will take up too much of my time.
I hadn't considered that.
Time I could devote to you.
She murmurs.
I see your game, Mrs. Gray. I know what you're doing.
What?
You're trying to distract me from the issue at hand. You always do that. Just don't dismiss the idea, Anna. Think about it. That's all I ask. I plant a swift kiss on her lips and run my thumb down her cheek. You are so lovely. You are more than capable.
Can I ask you something?
Anna says. Of course.
Earlier today, you said if I was angry with you, I should take it out on you in bed. What did you mean?
What did you think I meant? I ask.
That you wanted me to tie you up.
What? No, that's not what I meant at all. I just want some resistance in bed.
Oh.
Anna looks disappointed. You want to tie me up? I ask. I'm not sure I could do that. Not yet, anyway. Anna blushes.
Well,
Anna, that would mean complete loss of control and total surrender. I offered that to her once before, and she didn't want it. I'm not sure I could deal with that kind of rejection from her again. Besides, I've only just learned to tolerate, no, revel in her touch. I don't want to derail that.
Christian,
she whispers, and scrambles up so she's facing me. She places her palm on my cheek.
Christian, stop. It doesn't matter. I thought that's what you meant.
Taking her hand, I place it on my chest, where beneath my skin and bone, my heart is hammering with my anxiety. Anna, I don't know how I'd feel about you touching me if I were restrained. Her eyes grow wider. This is still too new. I'm confessing my darkest fears to her again. Anna leans toward me, and I don't know what she's going to do, but she kisses the corner of my mouth.
Christian, I got the wrong idea. Please don't worry about it. Please don't think about it.
She kisses me again, and I close my eyes and kiss her back, hungrily. I grab the back of her head, holding her in place, and press her into the mattress, banishing my demons as I do. Tuesday, August 23rd, 2011. Scarlet nails rake across my chest. I can't move, I can't see. I can only feel.
You don't like this, do you?
I can't speak, silenced by the ball gag. Frantically, I shake my head as the darkness slithers inside me, trying to crawl its way out, while her talons wreak their havoc on the outside.
Hush now. You'll get your reward.
The flogger strikes my chest, the small beads pinching my skin in a stinging rebuke that silences the darkness with pain. Sweat beads on my brow.
Such beautiful skin.
She hits me again, lower, and I pull against the restraints as the flogger sings its song across my belly. Fuck. She's going lower. The pain will be hard to take. I steel myself, waiting. Anna stands over me. She's caressing my face while wearing my fur glove. Her hand moves down my throat, across my chest, the fur sliding over my skin, soothing, quieting the darkness. Anna watches me, her hair mussed, her eyes shining with her love. Anna. Her hand moves lower to my belly and sweeps over my stomach with the softest caress. Then her fingers are in my hair. Opening my eyes, I find I'm wrapped around Anna like swaddling, my head on her chest. My gray eyes meet sparkling summer blue. Hi, I murmur, delighted to see her.
Hi.
My joy is mirrored in her face. Her satin nightgown is perfectly designed, revealing that special valley between her breasts. I kiss her there as the rest of my body wakes fully. My hand skims over her hip. What a tempting morsel you are, I mutter. But tempting though you are. The radio alarm reads 7:30. I have to get up. Reluctantly, I disentangle myself from my wife and climb out of bed. She puts her hands behind her head and watches me as I strip, teasing her top lip with her tongue. Admiring the view, Mrs. Gray?
It's a mighty fine view, Mr. Gray.
Her mouth twists into a smug grin, so I throw my pajama pants at her. She catches them, giggling. To hell with work. I hoist the duvet off of her, kneel on the bed, and grab Anna's ankles, drawing her toward me so that her nightgown rides up over her thighs and up, revealing my favorite place. She squeals. It's a stimulating sound, and I lean down and start a path of kisses from her knee to her thigh to my favorite place. Good morning, Anna. Ugh. She groans. Mrs. Jones is busying herself in the kitchen when I stroll in.
Good morning, Mr. Gray. Coffee?
Good morning, Gail, please.
And what would you like for breakfast?
I'm famished after this morning's and yesterday evening's activities. Omelette, please.
Ham, cheese, and mushrooms?
Great.
Mrs. Gray did an excellent job on your hair, sir.
Mrs. Jones smiles, and there's a teasing glint in her eye. I grin back. That she did. I perch on one of the bar stools at the kitchen counter, where she's laid two place settings. Anna will be with us shortly.
Very good, sir.
She hands me a coffee, and while my omelette is cooking, she lays out granola, yogurt, and blueberries for Anna. I check the markets on my phone.
Good morning, Mrs. Gray.
Gail hands Anna a cup of tea as she greets her. My wife is wearing a pretty blue shift dress that complements her eyes. She looks ever the cool publishing executive and not the sex siren that I know intimately and often. She sits down beside me. How are you, Mrs. Gray? I ask, knowing that she was well-pleasured and loud about it this morning.
I think you know, Mr. Gray.
She gazes up at me through her lashes, giving me that look that goads my libido. I smirk. Eat. You didn't eat yesterday.
That's because you were being an arse.
Mrs. Jones drops a plate that she's washing beneath a tap into the sink. The sound startles Anna. Arse or not, eat. Don't fuck with me on this, Anna. Anna rolls her eyes.
Okay, picking up spoon, eating granola.
She sounds exasperated, but proceeds to serve herself yogurt and blueberries and makes a start on her breakfast. I relax and remember what I wanted to talk to her about. I may have to go to New York later in the week.
Oh.
It'll mean an overnight. I want you to come with me.
Christian, I won't get the time off.
I peer down at her. Oh, I think we can work that out. She sighs.
I know you own the company, but I've been away for 3 weeks. Please, how can you expect me to run the business if I'm never there? I'll be fine here. I'm assuming you'll take Taylor with you, but Sawyer and Ryan will be here.
She stops. As ever, my wife makes a good point.
What?
She asks.
Nothing.
Just you. And your negotiation skills. She gives me a sideways look, but the amusement in her expression abruptly vanishes.
How are you getting to New York?
The company jet? Why?
I just wanted to check if you were taking Charlie Tango.
Her face loses color as she shudders. I wouldn't fly to New York in Charlie Tango. She doesn't have that kind of range. Besides, she won't be back from the engineers for another 2 weeks. She looks relieved.
Well, I'm glad she's nearly fixed, but...
She stops and looks down at her granola. What? I ask. She shrugs. I hate it when she does this. Anna? Tell me.
I just, you know, last time you flew in her, we thought you'd...
She stutters and then stops. Oh, Anna. Hey. I brush my fingers down her face. That was sabotage. And we suspect your ex-boss.
I couldn't bear to lose you,
she says. 5 people have been fired because of that, Anna. It won't happen again.
5?
I nod. She frowns.
That reminds me, there's a gun in your desk. How the hell does she know that?
The scissors. Shit. It's Leela's.
It's fully loaded.
How do you know? I ask.
I checked it yesterday.
What? I don't want you messing with guns. I hope you put the safety back on. She looks at me as if I've grown an additional head.
Christian, there's no safety on that revolver. Don't you know anything about guns?
No. Taylor clears his throat. He's waiting for us at the entrance. I check my watch. It's later than I thought. That's because you made love to your wife this morning, Gray. We have to go. Standing up, I don my jacket, and Anna follows me out to the hallway, where we both greet Taylor.
I am just going to brush my teeth,
Anna says, and Taylor and I watch her retreat toward the bathroom. I turn to Taylor. That reminds me, it's Anna's birthday in September. She wants an R8, a white one. Taylor raises his eyebrows. I laugh. Yeah, surprised me too. Can you order one? Taylor grins. With great pleasure, sir. A spider like yours? Yes, I think so. Same spec. Taylor rubs his hands in ill-disguised glee. I'll get on to it. We need it by the latest September 9. I'm sure I can source one in time. Anna returns and we head into the elevator.
You should ask Taylor to teach you how to shoot,
she says. Should I now? My tone is wry.
Yes.
Anastasia, I despise guns. My mom has patched up too many victims of gun crime, and my dad is vehemently anti-gun. I grew up with their ethos. I support at least 2 gun control initiatives here in Washington.
Oh, does Taylor carry a gun?
I glance at Taylor and hope that the utter disdain I feel for firearms doesn't show on my face. Sometimes.
You don't approve?
Anna asks, as I usher her out of the elevator. No, let's just say that Taylor and I hold very different views with regard to gun control. In the car, Anna reaches over and grasps my hand.
Please,
she says. Please what?
Learn how to shoot.
I roll my eyes. No, end of discussion, Anastasia. She opens her mouth, but closes it again and folds her arms and gazes out of the window. I suppose being an ex-soldier's daughter will give you a different perspective on guns. Being a doctor's son formed mine.
Where is Leela?
Anna pipes up. Why is she thinking about my ex-sub? I told you, she's in Connecticut with her folks.
Did you check? After all, she does have long hair. It could have been her driving the Dodge.
Yes, I checked. She's enrolled in an art school in Hamden. She started this week.
You've spoken to her?
Anna pales, her voice quietly ringing with shock. No, Flynn has.
I see.
She mutters. What?
Nothing.
I sigh. This is the second time this morning she's done this. Anna, what is it? Communicate and compromise. She shrugs, and I have no idea what she's thinking. About Leela? Maybe Anna needs reassuring. I'm keeping tabs on her, I say, checking that she stays on her side of the continent. She's better, Anna. Flynn has referred her to a shrink in New Haven, and all the reports are very positive. She's always been interested in art, so... I stop, trying to find a clue in Anna's face as to what she's thinking. Don't sweat this, Anastasia. I squeeze her hand, and I'm heartened when she returns the gesture.
Nice haircut, Mr. Gray.
Barry is effusive as he opens the glass door to Gray House.
Thank you, Barry.
Well, that's a first.
How's your boy?
I ask.
He's great, sir. Doing well at school.
Barry glows with paternal pride. I can't help my smile. Good to hear it. Roz and Sam are in the elevator.
Haircut?
Roz asks.
Yes, thanks.
Looks good.
Yes, says Sam.
Thanks. What the hell has gotten into my staff? After my update with Barney on the tablet prototype, I send an email to Anna. I take a gamble that she's managed to have her email name changed. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, August 23rd, 2011, 9:54. Flattery. Mrs. Gray, I have received 3 compliments on my new haircut. Compliments from my staff are new. It must be the ridiculous smile I'm wearing whenever I think about last night. You are indeed a wonderful, talented, beautiful woman. And all mine. Christian Gray, CEO. I'm delighted when it doesn't bounce, though I don't get an immediate answer. I'm between meetings when her response arrives.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, August 23rd, 2011, 10:48. Trying to concentrate here. Mr. Gray, I am trying to work and don't want to be distracted by delicious memories. Is now the time to confess that I used to cut Ray's hair regularly? I had no idea it would be such useful training. And yes, I am yours, and you, my dear, overbearing husband who refuses to exercise his constitutional right under the Second Amendment to bear arms, are mine. But don't worry, because I shall protect you. Always. Anastasia Gray, editor.
She used to cut Ray's hair. Well, damn it. That's why she did such a good job. And she's going to protect me. Of course she is. I turn to my computer and Google gun phobia. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, August 23rd, 2011, 10:53. Annie Oakley. Mrs. Gray, I am delighted to see you have spoken to the IT department and changed your name. Big grin emoticon. I shall sleep safe in my bed knowing that my gun-toting wife sleeps beside me. Christian Gray, CEO and hoplophobe.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, August 23rd, 2011, 10:58. Long words. Mr. Gray, once more you dazzle me with your linguistic prowess. In fact, your prowess in general, and I think you know what I'm referring to. Anastasia Gray, editor.
Her reply makes me grin. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, August 23rd, 2011, 11:01. Gasp. Mrs. Gray, are you flirting with me? Christian Gray, shocked CEO.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, August 23rd, 2011, 1104. Would you rather? I flirted with someone else. Anastasia Gray, Brave Editor.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, August 23rd, 2011, 1109.
Grrr.
No. Christian Gray, Possessive CEO.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, August 23rd, 2011, 1114. Wow. Are you growling at me? 'Cause that's kinda hot. Anastasia Gray, squirming in a good way, editor.
I love making her squirm via email. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, August 23rd, 2011, 1116. Beware. Flirting and toying with me, Mrs. Gray? I may pay you a visit this afternoon. Christian Gray, Priapic CEO.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, August 23rd, 2011, 1120. Oh no. I'll behave. I wouldn't want my boss's boss's boss getting on top of me at work. Wink. Now let me get on with my job. My boss's boss's boss may fire my ass. Anastasia Gray, editor.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, August 23rd, 2011, 1123. Unprintable. Believe me when I say there are a great many things he'd like to do to your ass right now. Firing you is not one of them. Christian Gray, CEO and ass man.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, August 23rd, 2011, 1126. Go away. Don't you have an empire to run? Stop bothering me. My next appointment is here. I thought you were a breast man. Think about my ass, and I'll think about yours. I love you. Kiss. Anastasia Gray, now moist editor.
Moist? There's that word again. I shake my head. I like her wet. Moist doesn't do it for me, at all. But sadly, I must cease, as my meeting with Marco and his team starts in 4 minutes. It's a great meeting. Marco has gone aggressively after Gio Lumara, and our bid has been successful. This acquisition will take us into a new area of green energy via a cheaper and easier-to-manufacture solar panel. It's also looking likely that either I'll have to go to Taiwan or the shipyard owners will come to us, but first they want a phone conference. Roz is arranging a time. When we finish up, she asks for a word. We wait for the others to leave.
Hassan would like you to go to New York, she says. Morale is low because of how Woods left. He wasn't well-liked, and because he kicked up a fuss in the press, the tech team is skittish. We don't want to lose any of them. They're all good people.
Hassan can't reassure them?
He can only do so much, Christian. Your visit would signal real support. You're good at rallying the troops.
Okay.
I'll let him know you'll be there Thursday.
Thanks.
Oh, and Gwen is pregnant.
Wow. Congratulations. I wonder how all that works, but I don't want to pry.
Yes, she's at 12 weeks, so we're telling people.
3 kids. Wow.
Yes, we'll probably stop there.
I grin. Well, congratulations once more. When I get back to my desk, I call Welch for an update. He's viewed the footage from outside Escala.
Mr. Gray, I'd like to talk to Hyde's former assistants again, see if they'll talk this time.
Couldn't do any harm.
My thoughts exactly.
Let me know how you get on.
Will do.
I hang up and let Anna know I'm off to New York. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, August 23rd, 2011, 1259. The Big Apple. Dearest wife, my empire requires that I go to NYC on Thursday. I'll be back on Friday evening. Are you sure I can't persuade you to come with me? Your boss's boss's boss needs you. Christian Gray, CEO, breast and ass man.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, August 23rd, 2011, 1302. NYC no-no. I think my boss's boss's boss can manage a night without me and my breasts and ass. As they say, absence makes the heart grow fonder. I'll behave, I promise. Anastasia Gray, editor.
Thursday, August 25th, 2011. It's pre-dawn, and my wife is curled up beneath the covers. Beside her on the floor is the remains of a cable tie. I pick it up, smirking, remembering last night, and slip it into my pants pocket. Fun times. Leaning over her, I catch a hint of her scent. Anna and sex. The most seductive perfume in the world. I plant a gentle kiss on her forehead.
Too early,
she grumbles. Damn, I've woken her, and I know from experience that Anna is not a fan of the early morning. I'll see you tomorrow night, I whisper.
Don't go,
she says sleepily, and she's so tempting. I have to. I stroke her cheek. Miss me.
I will.
She gives me a sleepy smile and puckers her lips. I grin. An early morning goodbye kiss from my girl. Bye. I whisper against her lips, and reluctantly, I leave her to sleep. From the back of the car, I send Anna an email while Ryan drives Taylor and me to Boeing Field. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, August 25th, 2011, 4:32. Miss you already. Mrs. Gray, you were adorable this morning. Behave while I'm away. I love you. Christian Gray, CEO. Captain Stefan and First Officer Bailey are on hand, and we're soon airborne for NYC. I strip down in the small bedroom, hoping to catch an hour or so of sleep. As I lay down, I recall our evening. Anna and I went to the Seattle Assistance Union Gala. She looked elegant in her pale pink dress and second chance earrings. She looked even more elegant when I undressed her last night. She should be with me now. I close my eyes and my mind drifts to our honeymoon night on board this Gulf Stream. I hope to dream of my wife. I wake when we're about an hour out of New York and, feeling refreshed, dress quickly. Taylor is in the main cabin, eating what looks like a ham and cheese croissant.
Good morning, sir.
Hi. Breakfast. Great. Did you get some sleep? Taylor nods, looking his usual immaculate self.
I did, thank you.
I take my seat as the captain joins us.
Sleep well, sir?
Stefan asks.
Yes, thanks. Everything okay?
I ask.
We're being rerouted to JFK. There's been an incident at Teterboro.
An incident?
As far as I know, it's nothing major. It's just hit our landing time.
This will give me less time at GEH Fiber Optics, I say to Taylor.
I've been in touch with the ground crew at Shelter, and we're rerouting your car from Teterboro,
Stefan says.
Good. Will you get the Gulf Stream to Teterboro after we land? It's more convenient to leave from there.
I'll see what we can do.
Stefan smiles and heads back into the cockpit. 40 minutes later, we land at JFK. As we taxi to the terminal, I check my emails. There's one from Anna.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, August 25th, 2011, 9:03. Behave yourself. Let me know when you land. I'll worry until you do. And I shall behave. I mean, how much trouble can I get into with Kate? Anastasia Gray, editor.
Kate. I imagine she could get into a lot of trouble with Kate. The second time I met Miss Kavanaugh, Anna was inebriated. That's how we spent our first night together. Shit. I press call.
Anastasia Gray.
It's such a pleasure to hear her voice.
Hi.
Hi. How was your flight?
Long. What are you doing with Kate?
We're just going out for a quiet drink.
Out with Hyde at large? Fuck.
Sawyer and the new woman, Prescott, are coming to watch over us,
she says sweetly. Then I remember. I thought Kate was coming to the apartment.
She is, after a quick drink.
I sigh. Why didn't you tell me? I'm not in Seattle. If something happens to them, to her, and I'm not there, I'll never forgive myself.
Christian, we'll be fine. I have Ryan, Sawyer, and Prescott here. It's a quick drink. I've seen her only a few times since you and I met. Please, she's my best friend.
Anna, I don't want to keep you from your friends, but I thought she was coming back to the apartment. She sighs.
Okay, we'll stay in.
Only while this lunatic is out there, please.
I've said okay.
She mutters, and I know by the tone of her voice she's exasperated. I chuckle, relieved that she's reverting to type. I always know when you're rolling your eyes at me.
Look, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to worry you. I'll tell Kate.
Good. I blow out a breath. I can go about the rest of my day and not worry about her.
Where are you?
On the tarmac at JFK.
Oh, so you just landed?
Yes. You asked me to call the moment I landed.
Well, Mr. Gray, I'm glad one of us is punctilious.
Mrs. Gray, your gift for hyperbole knows no bounds.
What am I going to do with you? I am sure you'll think of something imaginative. You usually do.
She whispers. Are you flirting with me?
Yes.
She sounds breathless, and even from this far away and over the phone, her voice is arousing. I grin. I'd better go. Anna, do as you're told, please. The security team knows what they're doing.
Yes, Christian, I will.
I sense more eye rolling. I'll see you tomorrow evening. I'll call you later.
To check up on me?
Yes.
Oh, Christian.
She chides me. Au revoir, Mrs. Gray.
Au revoir, Christian. I love you.
Hearing her say those three words will never get old. And I you, Anna. Neither of us hangs up.
Hang up, Christian.
She murmurs. You're a bossy little thing, aren't you?
Your bossy little thing.
Mine, I whisper. Do as you're told, hang up.
Yes, sir.
She purrs and hangs up. And the disappointment is real. Anna. I type a quick email. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, August 25th, 2011, 1342 EDT. Twitching palms. Mrs. Gray, you are as entertaining as ever on the phone. I mean it. Do as you're told. I need to know you're safe. I love you. Christian Gray, CEO. The plane pulls to a stop outside the terminal. Our car is waiting for us on the tarmac. It's time to head to the Flatiron District and rally the troops. I loathe the tedious drive from JFK to Manhattan. The traffic is always gridlocked, and even when it's moving, it's slow. That's why I prefer to travel from Teterboro. I occupy myself with emails until I glance out of the car window. We're driving through Queens on the expressway, heading to the Midtown Tunnel, and there she is, Manhattan. There is something magical about her skyline. I've not been to New York for a few months, well, since before I met Anna, and I know I must bring her here soon, as she's never been before, if only to see this iconic view. We head straight to the GEH Fiber Optics Division, which is based in an old building on East 22nd Street. We pull up outside, and I can feel the bustling energy of the city. It's invigorating. As I step out of the car into the Manhattan throng, I'm hyped for my first meeting of the day. The engineering team blows me away. Young, creative, energetic, I feel at home here. Over a long lunch of sandwiches and beer, I tell them how their technology is going to revolutionize Kavanaugh Media's operation and how the work they're doing now is vital in future-proofing Kavanaugh's expansion plans. His will be the first major media outlet to use their technology. And when I show them how we intend to deploy their expertise in other fields, they're all buzzing with excitement. Roz was right. I needed to do this. Hassan, who is now the senior vice president of the company, is smart, young, and driven. He reminds me of myself. He's far superior to Woods, an inspiring and worthy successor with vision and drive. One only has to see the premises that Woods has inflicted on his team to know he had a short-term, narrow perspective. What was he thinking? While the reception area is remarkably upscale and frankly pretentious, the offices are cramped, shabby, and in need of substantial refurbishment. We
We need to relocate. I've instructed Rachel Morris, their logistics chief, to get on that. She's keen to do so, which is great, but it's no wonder morale is low. The place is grim. I email Roz and ask her to go through the lease to see if we can get out before the end of the term, which has another 2 years to run. When I leave, it's after 6 p.m., and we're behind schedule. I have just enough time to get to my apartment in Tribeca, change into my tux, then head out again to the Telecommunications Alliance Organization fundraiser near Union Square. In the car, I try to call Anna, but I can't get a signal. Hell. The irony is not lost on me. I'll try again later. The event, as I expected, is convivial enough, and it gives me a chance to network with fellow senior executives and entrepreneurs in my field. But yesterday I attended a charity gala in Seattle with Anna, and it was more enjoyable for that reason alone. While the gathered guests enjoy canapés and cocktails, I call her once more, but her phone goes to voicemail. I'm about to leave a message when I'm interrupted by the host, Dr. Alan Michaels, who is delighted to see me. At 9:30 p.m., during the entree, Taylor sidles up to me.
Sir, Mrs. Gray is having a drink with Kate Kavanaugh at the Zigzag Cafe.
Really? Anna said she would go back to the apartment. I check my watch. It's 6:30 p.m. in Seattle. Who's with her?
Sawyer and Prescott.
Okay. Maybe it's just one drink. Let me know when she leaves. She said she would stay at home. Why would she do this? She knows I'm concerned about her welfare. Hyde is at large. He's obviously crazy and unpredictable. My mood sours, and I find it difficult to concentrate on the conversation that floats around me. I'm sitting at a table occupied by some of the titans of our industry and their wives, and a husband in one case. We are here to raise money to provide technology for schools in less privileged and underserved communities across the country, but there are only 9 of us at our table, and 1 empty seat. My wife is conspicuous by her absence. She's also absent from our home.
Where's your wife this evening?
Callista Michaels asks me. Seated on my left, she's the organizer of the event and Dr. Michaels's wife. She's older, maybe in her late 50s, and dripping in diamonds. She's in Seattle, at a fucking bar.
Shame she couldn't come tonight,
she says. She works, and she enjoys her job.
Oh, how quaint. What does she do?
I grit my teeth. She's in publishing. And I wish she were here, or I were back in Seattle. My mood grows bleaker. My sirloin with béarnaise sauce doesn't taste quite as good as it did. It's weird. I've always attended these events without a date. Now I don't know what possessed me to accept the invitation without Anna. Well, I thought Anna would come with me. Though, now that I think about it, she was a little bored at the benefit we attended yesterday. And tonight, she's out drinking with Kate, having fun. Shit. Every time I've known them to go out together, Anna has had too much to drink. The first night we slept together in Portland, she was so drunk she passed out in my arms. She was totally inebriated when she got home after her bachelorette party. An image of her naked in bed, her arms beckoning me, her sweet seductive tone calls to me.
You can do anything you want to me.
Fuck. It's always when she's out with Kavanaugh. Keep it together, Gray. The security team is with her. What harm can she come to? Hyde. He's out there somewhere, and he wants revenge? I don't know. He's a maniac. I look up at Taylor, who is standing on the other side of the room. He shakes his head. She's still out. She's still drinking. With Kavanaugh. I'm dragged back into the now, and a conversation about conflict minerals and reliable sources of ethically mined materials. After the delicious and frankly comforting dark chocolate tort, I look up at Taylor again. He shakes his head. Hell, that's time for how many drinks? I hope she's had something to eat. Excuse me, I have to make a call. I leave the table and call Anna from the lobby. She doesn't pick up. I try her again. No answer. I try once more. Still no answer. Fuck. I text her. Where the hell are you? She should be home, or here. And I know I'm being petulant, but she won't even pick up my calls. I storm back into the ballroom, where a charity auction is about to begin. I listen to the first two lots. Both involve golf. Fuck this. I write a check for $100,000 and hand it to Mrs. Michaels. I am sorry, Callista, but I have to go. Thank you for hosting a lovely evening. I'll pledge the same again for next year. It's a worthy cause.
Christian, that's so generous. Thank you.
I get up to leave, as does she, and she kisses me on both cheeks, which I'm not expecting. Good night. I say to Callista, and I shake her husband's hand. I eye Taylor at the edge of the room, and I think he's already calling the car. Even with its high ceilings and great views over the city, the place suddenly feels claustrophobic, and I'm grateful when we get outside into the balmy evening heat of New York.
Sir, the car will be a couple of minutes.
Okay, she's still there, at the zigzag?
Yes, sir.
Let's go home. Taylor tilts his head.
Tribeca?
No, Seattle. He stares at me, his face giving nothing away, but I know he thinks I'm crazy. I sigh. Yes, I'm sure I want to go home. I answer his unspoken question.
I'll call Stefan, he says.
He wanders over to the side of the main entrance and makes the call. I try Anna again, and her phone goes to voicemail. I don't trust myself to leave a message. I realize I could call Sawyer, but I have only a flimsy hold on my temper. Taylor could call him, but what would that achieve? It's not like Sawyer can physically remove Anna from the bar. Could he? Gray, behave. Taylor finishes his call and walks back to me, his expression grim. What the hell?
Sir, the Gulfstream is at Teterboro. It can be ready to fly in an hour.
Good, let's go.
Do you want to go back to the apartment?
He asks. No, I don't need anything there. Do you need to go back there?
No, sir. We'll go straight to the airport.
In the car, I brood. I have a nagging suspicion that I'm behaving badly, but not as badly as my wife. Why can't she do what she says? Or let me know? Hyde is out for revenge, and I'm scared. For her. And for me, if I lose her. Friday, August 26th, 2011. Once we're on board, I remove my bow tie, fold it, and stuff it into the outside breast pocket of my tux. Taylor hangs my jacket with his in the small closet, and I grab a blanket for each of us, then take a seat in the main cabin. I gaze out into the New Jersey darkness, tension leaching from my muscles into my bones. While we were in the terminal waiting for the Gulfstream, I managed to restrain myself from calling Anna again. But I can bear it no longer, and as Stefan and Bailey do their final checks, I call Sawyer.
Mr. Gray,
he says, above the background hum of the bar. People are out, enjoying themselves, like Anna. Sawyer, good evening. Is Mrs. Gray still with you?
She is, sir.
I'm tempted to ask him to hand his phone to her, but I know I will lose my shit, and she's probably having a good time. I'm reassured that she's under Sawyer's watchful eye.
Do you want to talk to her?
He asks. No, stick close to her. Keep her safe. Hyde could be anywhere.
Yes, sir. Prescott and I have her covered,
Sawyer replies. I hang up and glance at Taylor, who is sitting diagonally opposite me, watching me impassively. I look back down at my phone, and I'm so mad at my wife, I didn't even tell Sawyer that we were on our way home. Taylor must think I'm crazy. I am crazy. Crazy for my fucking wife, who cannot be trusted to do as she says. Taylor's seen me sitting on the floor of my foyer, staring at the elevator, after she left me. And he had glue for the little glider.
Sir, she'll be fine, he says gently.
I look up at him again and bite my tongue. This is none of his goddamn business. This is between me and my wife. Deep down, I think she's going to be fine, but I have to be sure. Why the hell couldn't she do what I needed her to do? Just once. Just now. My temper simmers, and I fire off a quick email to her. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, August 26th, 2011, 42 EST. Angry. You've not seen angry. Anastasia, Sawyer tells me that you are drinking cocktails in a bar when you said you wouldn't. Do you have any idea how mad I am at the moment? I'll see you tomorrow. Christian Gray, CEO. Bailey announces that we will be taking off shortly. I buckle up as Taylor does the same. You can take the bed if you'd like to sleep, I offer. I think it will elude me.
I'm good, sir.
Okay. I lay back and close my eyes, grateful that Bailey likes a nap and has slept all afternoon. She's going to fly us home. I sleep fitfully, my dreams a tangled mess of dominance and submission, standing over Anna with a cane in my hand, Elena standing with a cane over me. It's confusing and unsettling. I try not to sleep. To stay awake, I pace, feeling like a caged animal, though that sense is exacerbated because the Gulf Stream is not exactly designed for pacing. Hell, I want to howl at the moon. I want to be home. I want to curl up with Anna. The plane landing at Boeing Field wakes me from my restless sleep. Opening my eyes, which are gritty from lack of sleep and dry from the air conditioning, I pick up my phone. Taylor is awake. I wonder if he's slept at all. What's the time? I ask as Bailey brings the plane to a stop at the end of the runway.
It's 4:10.
That's early. Will we be met?
I did email Ryan. Let's hope he got the message.
We both switch on our phones at the same time. Shit. I have several messages, and judging by the irritating notifications coming from his phone, so does Taylor. There's a text and missed call from Anna. I read her text first.
I'm still in one piece. I had a nice time. Missing you. Please don't be mad.
Too late, Anna. At least she missed me. She's left a voicemail, which I listen to next. Her voice is breathy and anxious.
Hi, it's me. Please don't be mad. We've had an incident at the apartment, but it's under control, so don't worry. No one is hurt. Call me.
What the fuck? And my first thought is Leela has broken in again. Maybe it was her driving the Dodge. When I glance at Taylor, his face is ashen.
Hyde was caught in the apartment. Ryan took him down. He's in police custody, he says.
My world grinds to a screeching halt.
Anna,
I whisper, as all the breath evaporates from my body.
She's fine.
Gail?
She's fine, too.
What the hell?
Exactly.
Taylor looks as shaken as I feel. The plane taxis to a stop, and I call Anna immediately, but her phone goes straight to voicemail.
Shit. Hyde in the apartment? How? Why? What?
I'm trying to wrap my head around this, but exhaustion is clouding my thinking. Anna's not answering. She must be asleep. I hope so. I'm relieved she's okay, but I need to see her to make sure. Stefan has opened the aircraft door, and the early morning chill seeps into the main cabin and my bones. Shivering, I get up and take my jacket from Taylor, who is first off the plane.
Thanks, Bailey, Stefan,
I say as I don my tux jacket to ward off the cool pre-dawn air.
You're welcome, sir,
she says. No, I mean it. Thank you for the last-minute scramble of it all.
It's not a problem.
Get some rest. I shake both their hands and follow Taylor out to where Sawyer is waiting with the Audi. Sawyer gives us a debrief during the drive back to Escala. While Anna and Kate were carousing at the Zigzag Cafe, Hyde, dressed in coveralls, arrived at Escala and buzzed the apartment service entrance. Ryan recognized him, let him in, and took him down. This all happened just before Anna, Sawyer, and Prescott returned home. The police and paramedics came, took Hyde away. They questioned everyone. What the actual fuck?
Was he armed? Taylor asks. Yes. Sawyer responds. Is Ryan okay? I ask.
Yes, but there was an altercation. One of the doors needs repair.
Altercation? I don't believe it.
They fought.
Fuck. But Ryan's okay?
Yes, sir. And Gail? She was there?
Taylor presses.
In the panic room.
Thank you, Roz Bailey. I glance at Taylor, who rubs his forehead, his eyes screwed shut. Hell. Both of our women threatened by that evil motherfucker Hyde.
Who called the police? Taylor asks. I did. Mrs. Gray insisted.
She did the right thing, I mutter. What the hell was he hoping to achieve?
I don't know, sir, Sawyer replies. One more thing. The press were outside last night.
Damn. And after they'd lost interest in us, this day just keeps getting better and better, and it's only,
I glance at my watch,
4:40 a.m.